Once Vice President Mike Pence and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell gaveled Congress back into session last night to quote, get back to work, as Pence said, it seemed for a moment that where the insurgent crowd, where they perhaps intended to hijack the certification process, actually might have ended up accelerating it by uniting Congress against their tactics. But what became clear to me, at least, is that though some Republicans, including Kelly Loeffler, who lost her runoff election to Raphael Warnock, withdrew their earlier complaints about election fraud and agreed to certify Biden's electoral win, many others did not. There were six Republican senators and over 100, I think it was 120, 121 members of the House went on record voting to sustain the objection to the ceremonial certification process. And of course, they all knew that Biden would be certified nonetheless. But I think many of them, for me, most notably Senator Ted Cruz, see a political opportunity in siding with the 74 million people who voted for Donald Trump in 2020. And to me, that's the point, right? Yesterday proved once again that there is a real and organized movement out there. And the Republican Party may be divided about what relation to establish toward it, but it is undeniably reshaping the American right in ways that will be coming to light over the course of the next 2 years at least. To me, it sounds like leaders of both parties want something like a return to normalcy. Yeah, to go forward as if this didn't happen in a way, as if this was just a bad day. Like Chuck Schumer said, you know, this was a day that will live in infamy, as if it's merely an event. But to me, it's not an event. It's a structure, right? It's one that's endemic of something much deeper and bigger. For me, I don't read yesterday as a symptom of declining empire, but rather I see yesterday as like a first act in a regrouping of people who feel the country has been stolen from them. And the right is building a significant counterculture. It's often under the radar, but is galvanizing appeal for many millions of people. And I'm inclined to think that the right way to regard our moment is that we're entering into the thick of a cold civil war. One of the great challenges of our time, I think, is how to recognize the threat without exaggerating its danger. But personally, I wonder if we have a bigger challenge in taking real threats seriously before it's too late. Nate, what do you think? Is that right? Is that wrong?
I have a couple of quotes that I want to share. The first one is from Marcus Aurelius. And he said, the object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. That's Marcus Aurelius, one of the five good emperors. The second one is, we are what we pretend to be, so we must be careful about what we pretend to be. And that's Kurt Vonnegut. Okay, so first, actually, Alex, I want to throw it back to you. Would you just describe what you think happened? Is it sedition? Sedition, I think, is just behaving and acting in opposition to government authority. This seems to qualify as sedition, at the very least. Is it insurrection? Insurrection, I think, is just like sedition with violence or a threat of violence. They found unexploded pipe bombs at the DNC, at the RNC, and on the Capitol grounds. They found Molotov cocktails in the back of a truck. Four people died. I think that that's important not to ignore. Do you think it has anything to do with free speech? As you were suggesting earlier, it seems more important to me to understand like what led to it. It seems like it's easy and common for people to condemn the violence, but to me, like some of that violence is like lizard brain behavior and like mob mentality that occurs when people find themselves in that situation. And it seems like more important to me to identify and then condemn like what led to it. There is sanctioned and sponsored and accredited incendiary misinformation.
Yes.
If we're talking about like the only things wrong here are the violence and not what led to that violence or seditious behavior, I think that's a problem. What do you think?
I think it's good and right for us to search for an explanation for what happened. And as you're doing, I think, Nate, look for the conditions of possibility for what took place so that we can assign accountability and think about responsibility and all that. But it might be good also for us, in addition to that, to just search for ways to brace ourselves against the inexplicable. That might also be worthwhile. I think for 4 years, lots and lots and lots of people have been trying to understand a kind of populist commitment to some outlandish conspiracy theories. I think it's right to wonder in order to understand and interpret, but that shouldn't be the goal, right? The broader goal should be to strengthen and bolster our ambition towards justice and to have a more just society. And that should be the goal. Everything that we do politically should be in the service of that. Now, if we polled all of the people who occupied the Capitol, you know, stormed the Capitol, breached the Capitol, whatever it would be like, they would say that that's what they were doing, probably. But if you ask them the next question, I wonder if they would have a suitable answer to the next question. Like, what is justice? Like, what how do you define that? They might not have a good answer to the next question or the third question.
Do you think it's worth engaging is sort of a larger question that I have. And I don't know if I have, it feel strongly about it, but for specifically for those people who led a violent break-in of the Capitol, do you think that the next step should be engaging with them about their ideas? Do you think that it was about ideas? Do you think that it's about trying to find common ground? Or do you think that in order to enact a more just and workable society, that it's more about finding ways to prevent it from happening again? And in order to prevent that from happening again, I guess I feel like it's most important to just make sure that the people that did that face accountability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if they don't, it seems like that sends a strong signal that the next time it can be like bigger. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's right. They're going to jail. And it, as Schumer said, either under this administration or the next, it was in excess of 50 people were arrested. You know, I think they should go to jail. I think they should go to jail for a long time. You know, that's what going to jail means. It means we're ending the conversation. Like, we're revoking your freedom to act because we don't think that you're capable of acting in a way that is in alignment with the goals of our society. So I think that's what should happen. I think that's what will happen.
And these are the effects. Okay. Like, yesterday was the effect. And maybe, as you suggest, like, those effects are going to continue and snowball, but these are the effects of a larger and more insidious problem, which I would identify as the sanctioned and sponsored and accredited spread of misinformation. And it's already occurring again, like in response to yesterday, we're already hearing, like, you know, these claims that are aired and echoed by certain media organizations that this was somehow like leftists in disguise. Sarah Palin was on Fox News talking about how this is like, it's actually Antifa and there's no way that this could possibly be the right militias. Anyway, David Eastman was there, the Alaska legislator from Wasilla. David Eastman was, he claims he did not participate in the break-in, but he was there for the protests and proudly posting online about it.
Dave Bauer directs the University of Alaska Press, and Alexander Hirsch teaches political science at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'm Robert Hannon.